You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
He has taken this world tour seriously. It's bad enough he's traveling the States for his Nothing Personal show live in prime time. But now he just flew to Europe to, well, what the heck. We'll run a marathon. We'll do a few shows. We'll come back by the end of the week. He's David Sampson. He records Nothing Personal live at 8 a.m. weekdays. You know how to download it. You can see him on the CBS Sports Family. He's on the Dan Le Batard Show. Follow him on X at David the letter P Sampson. David P. Sampson. So you're in Paris?
I am. I'm in Paris right now, but there was no way I was going to miss a show with you guys because it's my favorite part of the week. It's just a little later in the day right now. So, it breaks up a little bit of wine, but it's all good.
Well, don't stop drinking on our account, whatever you do.
I did, actually, because otherwise I'd be at a four-hour lunch right now, but I'll do this show, I'll do Nothing Personal, and then I'll go right back to the restaurant.
Good for you. And, Aaron Boone might be able to join you because he could already be thrown out. Have to start with that, David. For him to get thrown out, abominable in and of itself. For the umpire after the fact to say he's fine with throwing him out, that's even worse to me. Baseball won't do anything about this, but should they?
So thank you for asking that. There's a lot going on out there with Hunter Wendelstad, and the fans are saying, how can a manager be responsible for what a fan says? Now, I wish Hunter hadn't said it just that way, because what Hunter said is accurate. The umpire has discretion to throw someone out of the game, sole discretion. And if he hears something from the dugout, it probably happened 20 times in my career, and I'm not exaggerating, where the wrong person got thrown out of the game. And I've stood at home plate and tried to listen into the dugout. Easier at Marlins games, as an example, you can really pinpoint where the sound is coming from. But in a crowded stadium, it can be more difficult, and you can have a range of where you think it's from, but you look, and then when you toss someone, generally every umpire doubles down and just assumes that it was that person. And if not, they just say, hey, then you're wearing it for someone else. The problem that happened here is that it's media. We have tape and it looked like it was a fan, but then Hunter said, no, it was something from the other end of the dugout. Who really knows what happened, but I don't see discipline coming for Hunter Wendelstad.
The fact that he said, I don't care, is not going to get him in trouble because, David, I got to be honest, 5 pitches into a game, to me, that's waking up on the wrong side of the bed and then some. No, seriously. There's a part of me, and I'll say it again, I am not a Yankees fan, but there's a part of me that thinks, I don't think Wendelstad likes Boone very much. To get that upset that quickly and then to eject him wrongly, and then when it's pointed out to him, hey, you screwed up here, I didn't say anything, okay, he goes, I don't care. I'm sorry. If I'm the Yankees, I don't want him umpiring any of our games the rest of the year, and I'm not playing around. Cashman should have gone public yesterday. I would be screaming to the hilltops if I'm the Yankees. Major League Baseball needs to do something about this. This is absurd. And quite frankly, David, this is how games get fixed.
Well, actually, let's address the last thing you said, because I was right there. I was watching your passion and your energy, but then I feel like you jumped the shark, Fonzie.
Maybe I did. Maybe I'm Hunter Wendelstad, and I just, because of the guy in the third row, I ejected Boone. But if umpires can do whatever they want with no repercussions, then they can do whatever they want with no repercussions. So start to think about the worst things they can do.
All right, let me respond to that now. Yes, that is true that umpires are part of a union. Yes, it is true. However, there are repercussions. They get graded. They can't get fired. Otherwise, Angel would have been fired already. But they certainly do get graded. It does impact their postseason assignments. And this will be, Mike Hill will find out exactly what happened. He'll speak to Booney. He'll speak to Hunter. Now, Aaron gets thrown out. He's got the most ejections of any active manager. Mm-hmm. So this is not an example of a docile man who all of a sudden the umpire went crazy on him. And there could be stuff that happened pregame. There could be stuff from earlier in the season. There's always little dramas that happen between teams and umpires. We had a ton of drama with a guy named, he rhymes with Penny Lane, and his name is maybe Bruce Lane, the umpire. And our in-game entertainment played Penny Lane during a game, and we got called out by him during the game. I was sitting next to the dugout, and I said, our in-game entertainment people are not that smart. But it caused me to think I need to alert MLB, because there could be the possibility where he will rule against us or hurt our chances to win. And Joe Torre at the time said, David, you're being ridiculous. And I said, we'll see.
There was a Jerry Lane.
Jerry Lane. Thank you.
All right.
Jerry Lane.
I like you good going catch. I like you going Beatles for a little warm up there. I mean, there's never a bad time to play the Beatles, David.
Is it possible that it was set up to make fun of Jerry Lane because of the call that he had made? Maybe. Is it possible he was right to be as angry as I've ever seen an umpire? Maybe, but maybe not.
Bigger problem with the ejection of Boone or what Angel Hernandez gets away with every game?
Oh, I think it's for sure Angel Hernandez. He's just bad. Hunter Wendelstad is not a bad umpire. Angel Hernandez is a bad umpire. And what stinks about unions, and I'm not trying to be totally pro-management here, but I get unions, I get tenure, I understand that it's for the protection of the worker. However, when you protect incompetence, it gives a bad name to everything the union is supposed to stand for.
David.
I can't stand protecting incompetence, and that's what the umpires union is doing with Angel now.
David, police can be fired. Teachers can be fired. It's not easy. It's not. But we all know examples when they do something that is just, they're just too bad. Even we can't protect you. We'd love to. We can't. You rightfully are losing your job. How in the world is an umpire the only person in all of baseball that can't be fired?
Well, players with guaranteed contracts can't be
fired
either.
No, 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 they can be fired. Players can be fired. Executives can be fired. The commissioner can be fired.
Well, he's just an employee of the owners. Here's the thing. They've tried. They're building a file of incompetence. The problem is he sued baseball, which to me, it's like the story with the coach in football.
Brian Flores.
How in the heck does he have another job? I would never hire someone who filed suit against me or my company. Ever. Angel Hernandez filed suit, lost completely. And the ruling was, hey, it's not that you didn't get a postseason assignment because you're not white. You didn't get a postseason assignment because you stink. You did not get a crew chief assignment because you're white. You didn't get one because you stink. However, still not enough to terminate him. But baseball would love it. Believe me, it's embarrassing.
David Sampson, nothing personal with David Sampson. It's his daily podcast. He records it at 8 a.m. Eastern. That's 2 o'clock in Paris this time of the year. Won't be half in the bag because he sobered up to do Miller and Moulton. Then he'll do his thing. Then he'll go be half in the bag again. By the way, when you get back to the States, where's the world tour going?
New York is my next show Monday night, April 29th. And that's the last schedule, but it looks like I'm going to have a second leg of the tour. We're looking at Chicago and St. Louis, Miami, maybe Montreal. And you know what? I'd love to get to the West Coast of Florida. I'd love to do one in the area there. So my tour promoter's putting together another leg because this one's been great. And we're super excited about the New York show on Monday night.
And then he just skips off to Paris for a couple of days, too. I mean, you know, this is very rock and roll of you in the middle of a tour to stop and to go run a marathon and can get Paris for a couple of days.
I feel like Dennis Rodman going to Vegas during the finals. I'm a little tired, but it seems worth it. And I had the London Marathon planned. And the mistake that I made is when the tour promoter asked me my available dates, I gave him my available dates and I was leaving to run the marathon on Friday the 19th. So he said, great, you're doing a show Thursday the 18th in Pittsburgh. So I said, I'm coming back the night of the 28th. He said, great, you're going to do a show Monday the 29th. So I didn't give myself enough of a cushion. And I think it's cost me. My marathon performance was subpar, but I did finish. My body feels like absolute ass. ass right now. I can't say that on the air. It feels
sure you can.
Terribly.
No,
I can't. Yeah. It feels terribly. I don't know which way is up, but there is one thing I always know when it's Tuesday at 7 a.m. Eastern.
There you go. Staples in life. By the way, David, one big difference. Rodman ran off with Carmen Electra for 3 days in Vegas, okay? Unless there's someone in that room. Exactly, that we can't see who you're in
there
the room with.
There is someone in this room, actually.
And keep it to your damn self is what we're saying. Okay, is it too early to fire people? The White Sox are 3-19. Let's see, you got the Marlins at 6-18, Colorado at 5-18. Honestly, is it too early to fire people?
Well, I always loved firing managers early because then you can say you have a shot to turn the season around. So we're still too early, never with an A. But once the M comes, that's when you can start doing it. But I don't think you're going to see it until end of May at earliest. And the reason I say that is the teams who stink were always supposed to stink. Now, you could say the Marlins were supposed to be good, but then you'd be out of baseball. Because inside baseball, people knew what the Marlins were. Inside baseball, people knew what the Rockies were and the White Sox. If you had the Dodgers right now at 5-18, you would have a Dave Roberts watch going on right now. Same with the Braves and Brian Snitker. So I think that the teams who stink are going to lose a hundo, and it was expected.
What's the best meal you had in Paris so far? Is that coming tonight?
No, it's funny. Before the show, I went to some random place to get a quick baguette. And in a regular city, you wouldn't even walk into this place. In Paris, it might as well have been the best sandwich I've ever had. And it was €5, and no one speaks English. You go in and you get a baguette avec fromage ou poulet, and you eat it, and it's so fresh and delicious. You can't go wrong here.
What's the exchange rate? What's a euro?
So €1 is about, I always calculate it's about $1.20, but I think it's a little smaller now. I think it may be $1.15. I'm not exactly positive. I'll let you know when I get the credit card bill.
You know, you make it sound like there's not a Starbucks in Paris, like they'd be a
family. Oh my goodness. Don't let him speak when he does this, David. This is the chain life that he lives. I can't deal with. I'm so jealous of your baguette right now.
I walked right past the Paris McDonald's and kept going today.
Good. I think you lose your citizenship. And I'm talking about U.S. citizenship if you go in the Paris McDonald's. Okay, only in Paris, Kentucky. He's David Sampson, nothing personal. Records it in 47 minutes. Then he goes back to drinking in Paris, and we'll talk to him next week.
And you can watch on DraftKings at 10 a.m. because I don't want to stop watching Miller and Maltin, because you should watch the whole show and then come to DraftKings Network at 10 for nothing personal.
You're listening to Miller and Maltin, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Maltin.
21 minutes past the hour. We'll talk a little golf in about 15, 20 minutes. What an exciting weekend in the sport. I mean, you got two Americans in their mid-20s who are absolutely dominating on the PGA and LPGA Tour. And then you got this 15-year-old from Jacksonville Beach who, I guess, is going to have to decide, do I take over the world before I'm 20? Wow, lots of good stuff to talk about. Bob Herrig will join us. We'll talk a little golf. Pat Kerwin in 40 minutes as we gear up, a little more than 48 hours away from the NFL draft. What's our poll question again?
Speaking of the draft, with today being National Take a Chance Day, our research team did a lot of work to figure that out. Which 2021 draft class QB would you take a chance on? Right now, Justin Fields getting nearly 60% of the vote. Trey Lance getting 23% of the vote. Mac Jones a little over 11%. And Zach Wilson got a vote.
Somebody voted for Zach Wilson? Sean Payton?
It was me.
Is taking part in our poll question?
It was me.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. It was me.
Okay. Okay, we have to do this on the air. Quick conference, Miller and Maltin. Do we have to replace him? I mean, that's...
It's duly noted that... How on God's green earth could you pick Zach Wilson over the rest of those quarterbacks?
I mean,
no. I mean,
it's firing. We can go through it if you want.
Yeah, Justin Fields has played the position at a competent level, won games. Did you see Zach Wilson play for the New York Jets?
Yes.
and you still voted for him.
I think a lot of things corrupted Zach Wilson's potential. I don't think he would ever have been great under any circumstances.
But you're willing to take another chance on him. So you're never would to be great. You're going to take a chance on never going to be great.
Of the four options, which to David's point, we might never see another draft this bad with the quarterbacks. Trey Lance got picked third overall. Kyle Shanahan doesn't even believe in him. Okay. Then Justin Fields, corrupted by the Bears, can't throw the ball either. I mean, I think he's skilled. We'll see what he does in Pittsburgh. I don't know. That's the sexy answer. I'm not rocking with it. And then what's our other option?
Mac Jones.
Oh, Mac Jones. Yeah. Yeah. He got his chance for like 3 years to start. He stinks. What do you want me to tell you?
He won 10 games and took a team to a playoff.
But that's just not, you know, that's not.
With a bad roster around him.
And then got destroyed in the playoff game by a good team.
Who cares? Dan Marino lost a playoff game by 55 points. Who cares? Okay, I mean, come on.
Dan Marino's Dan Marino. Mac Jones is Mac Jones.
You took Zach Wilson over Mac Jones. Mark, honestly, I think we have to very quietly. I don't know if we have to go on LinkedIn or, you know, do one of those. I think we have to start taking applications. I'm very concerned.
Indeed. For the record, I wouldn't take any of them. But in the spirit of the question, he's going to Sean Payton. They don't really have another option. Who knows?
No, they have any other option than him. I don't think I've seen a starting quarterback play worse in the National Football League. I could start rattling off names of bad quarterbacks. Honestly.
I think the Peterman one that I gave you earlier is worthy of discussion, David.
He threw 5 interceptions and a half. I'd take Nathan Peterman over Zach Wilson.
Wilson does stink. They all stink. Mac Jones once lost a game by getting stiff-armed by Chandler Jones on a fumble 6, or maybe it was a pick 6. I don't remember. But he was the last line of defense, and he got stiff-armed into the ground.
Yeah, by a 300-pound guy.
Raiders win.
Man, I tell you, the grudges that you hold are strange. They really are.
I won't deny that.
So go to that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, Miller_Moulton on X to vote on which 2021 draft class QB would you take a chance on, with today being National Take a Chance Day.
Whew. Man, I guess he is Sean Payton, because Sean Payton did a pick swap for him. I thought he was going to say, I'm choosing Zach Wilson because of his mom. Okay. You know, honestly, I thought it was going to be something funny. I thought it was going to be something like, have you seen the women in Zach Wilson's life? Okay. I thought it was going to be something funny. He actually tried to bring up a football reason to support Zach Wilson.
And there isn't a football reason to support Zach Wilson.
No, I think paper or plastic is about the only thing Zach Wilson's qualified to do.
Would you guys at least concede that the Jets... That is, I mean, come on. It's the Jets. That's where quarterbacks go to die. If Caleb Williams sucks in Chicago, what are we going to say? Oh, it's the Bears. That's what happens. Right?
I'll grant you this. The Jets' offensive line was not good. But he played with a great defense in which, really, all he had to do was hand the ball off and not throw the ball to the other team, and they were in every game they played. He had it a lot better than some of the other guys that we're talking about.
We've got to move this along because we're on Zach Wilson. Exactly. And it's time now for the – I need something uplifting, because this Zach Wilson talk has brought me down, and I want to be built up on National Take a Chance Day. So we'll let Trent take another chance on this show with the Molly Made Play of the Day.
What's better than one play of the day? Two plays of the day. So we'll go in chronological order here, David. Number one. The NHL. Many believe that the Carolina Hurricanes are the best team in hockey, but they're down 3-2 to the Islanders in the late third period. Then there was a rally in Raleigh, as they put it on the newspapers, with a pair of goals in under 10 seconds. Here's both of them.
Kept in by Carolina. Jarvis with it. Svechnikov. Great goal!
It's gone at PNC Arena.
You just count on Aho to do it.
And there's still time left here. As Martinuk backs it in, he scores! Jordan Martinuk with the steal and the finish! And it's 4-3 Carolina!
So the Hurricanes actually go on to win it 5-3. They take a 2-0 lead in the first round over the Islanders. So, I don't know. You guys got any quick thoughts on that? It was pretty remarkable.
First time the Islanders in their franchise history blew a 3-0 lead in a playoff game. Up 3-1 going to the third. Gave up 4 in the third. Yeah, that series is over.
Done. Absolutely. They had nothing for Carolina in that game to begin with, let alone after the comeback. This sucker's over.
They outplayed them in game one and lost. And then yesterday they were ham and egging it and should have been able to get the horse into the barn and didn't. All right, what else you got?
Number two, the NBA. The Lakers and Nuggets script is pretty funny. Lakers just always get a huge lead. Nuggets come way back. Joker gets the last laugh. Except last night, it was Jamal Murray with the last laugh. Here's the radio call of his game winner.
Rebound Porter. There's the stop. Over to Jamal Murray. They have to foul. They have to foul. He's at the midcourt circle. 4 seconds. 3 seconds left. Why are they not fouling? Jumper Murray. Got it at the horn. Denver bounced the comeback. They come back from 20 points down. They win game number two. 101 to 99 is the final. And the Lakers can take that L on the way out.
So, kind of funny because the Lakers absolutely did not have to foul.
The game was tied.
The game was tied at 99.
Well, let me ask you this. Did the Lakers have a foul to give? Is that what he's arguing?
Oh, I don't know. I took it as
disrupt the play, or did he just lose track of the score?
That's a good point. I don't know. I took it as he was just kind of arrogantly saying, if they don't foul, he's going to hit a shot, and they need to get
the ball back. I think he thought that they were down a point.
Either way, just the energy and electricity coming from that call right there. Nuggets go up 2-0.
Jamal Murray, the game winner at the buzzer, 101-99. Home teams in the NBA playoffs are 11-0.
That's the Molly Maid play of the day. Call Molly Maid today, 239-774-5839. That's 239-774-5839. And be sure to tell them that Miller and Moulton sent you.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour, Pat Kerwin at the top of the hour as we start to get waist deep, at least, in our NFL draft prep. By the way, we're doing a live NFL draft show, 8 o'clock Thursday, on Twitch, twitch.tv/Miller and Moulton, and we'll do the whole first round. And we look forward a lot. Okay, we think a lot of the TV draft coverage is they talk about who just got drafted. We are constantly looking forward, what teams need, what assets they have to trade. Does so-and-so need to move up to take this guy? Because if they wait 7 more spots, he may not be there. That's how we do the draft. We have a lot of fun while doing it, but it's on Twitch Thursday night. It begins at 8 o'clock. Bob Harrick joins us, and we're going to try something. We're going to experiment with Bob. Bob, are you ready? We're going to try to do a golf segment and not mention LIV. Are you ready?
I'm all good. Go for it.
All right. Bob Harrick, Sports Illustrated, covers golf for a living. Author of the book Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. He knows he'll have to add another chapter or two because of the subject that we're not allowed to mention. But that's Bob Harrick. Follow him on X at Bob Harrick, H-A-R-I-G. Bob, what an amazing weekend, huh? A 27-year-old, 25-year-old, and 15-year-old American dominating the golf scene. This is an amazing time in the sport in the States, isn't it?
It's kind of nice to actually have those things to talk about instead of the other things that we have been talking about and focused on so much. We're actually talking about greatness on the course, and you know, the 15-year-old, I believe his name is Miles Russell, right?
Yeah, from Jacksonville Beach,
who had a great, you know, Corn Ferry Tour event in the Bradenton area, And then, of course, Scheffler and Nelly Korda, what they've been doing lately. You know, this is kind of what golf needs, I think. Obviously, having a great story like a young player is nice, but the game itself kind of needs people to dominate, step up and dominate. It's not like team sports where we like parity. In golf, I think we want a front runner because now the next time they play, you're curious to see if they can keep it going. And maybe you don't like them to keep it going, so you're rooting for somebody to take them down. And then that brings you in, and maybe you develop a fondness for that person who beats them. You know, so I think this is good right now, and it's obviously incredibly impressive what both those players are doing.
Well, Scheffler from the Arnold Palmer Invitational through last week is like 65 under in five tournaments. It's something ridiculous. No one's even close to that. Obviously, he's rolling the ball incredibly well, but his ball striking is as good as anybody not named Woods in the last, what, 10, 12 years, Bob?
Absolutely. That's the whole key. He's those strokes gained stats that you see, one of them is strokes gained tee to green. And in just about every tournament this year, he's one or two. And every tournament that he's played, every 72-hole event that he's played, we've not been looking at Pebble Beach because that event was skewed by weather. And he finished second there. I think he was third in Houston, and he ended up missing a playoff by a shot. You know, he's dominating from off the tee to the green. And you know, you can win not being first or second in those stats, but it's hard to get beat when you're up there like that all the time. And then you bring in the other aspects. He's been really good with the short game. You know, not necessarily his putting. His putting is in good, but his chipping has really been outstanding. At the Masters, believe it or not, he didn't have as good of an iron game as he's had in other tournaments. He typically, when you win the Masters, you're right up there in greens and regulation. He was not. He was, you know, he actually missed a lot of greens at Augusta, but he was getting it up and down. You know, his short game was terrific. And, you know, that was Tiger. You know, Tiger would have his rounds where he'd only hit nine greens and he'd still shoot 67. You know, that's the key. When you don't have it in the other areas, you make up for it somewhere else, and that's what Scheffler's doing.
Bob Harrig covers golf for Sports Illustrated, author of the book Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. It's been out for a month or so. Would make a great Father's Day gift, or Mother's Day gift for that matter. Follow Bob on X at Bob Harrig, H-A-R-I-G. Hey, Bob, when Tiger was dominant, you know, that 15-year run where he was the best ball striker in the world. Now, Duval had his moments, Phil had his moments and the whole deal, but we knew nobody hit the golf ball like Tiger Woods. Right now, nobody's hitting the golf ball like Scheffler. Is there another guy, though? Is there a guy out there that you think is coming? Or is he just, you know, is there a Duval? Is there a Phil? Is there somebody, you know, that's on the precipice?
You know, Morikawa is on Scheffler's level as a ball striker. It's the reason he won two majors early on, because he hit the ball so good. And then something happened. You know, first of all, his putting has been a problem. He's messed around with that a lot. And he lost a little something too. He's seemingly regaining it, but you hear him talk all the time. Like he talked during the Masters about, I found something on Monday. That's always a little ominous when somebody says that, you know, like in other words, if you're just finding it on Monday of Masters week, you wonder if it's going to hold together under the gun. And you know, on Sunday at the Masters, it really didn't. But Morikawa had a pretty good Hilton Head also. He faded a little bit on Sunday. But I think he's inching his way back, you know. And now he doesn't hit it as far as Scheffler, though. And that's the other thing that can get in your head, is if you're behind him all the time. You know, they played in the final round at the Masters. You start feeling like you got to hit it closer. But is there anybody else coming? I mean, what we're seeing right now in the game is, I mean, look, a guy like Sigala, who finished second, who's a really, really good player. But I don't think he even has the belief in himself yet. And he's only a year younger than Scheffler. He's just sort of starting to push through. A lot of these other guys have regressed. You know, Rory's in a funk. Justin Thomas had a good tournament. He's an incredible ball striker. But, I mean, look at what he did at the Masters at Valspar, where he just had these implosions. I think it's kind of the time for some of these guys to dig deep. You know, they probably better not look at whose name is up there and focus on, you know, just doing their own thing, because otherwise it's going to start to get in their heads.
Well, and Bob, that's, you led me right to where I wanted to go, because it certainly, you know, again, I Tiger's Tiger, I get it, but this is reminiscent in that on Sunday here, you know, Straka in the final group couldn't play with Scheffler. You know, you mentioned Morikawa, even at the Masters, guys fell apart as they're, are they just pressing so much because Scheffler's playing so well, or is it just the moment that's getting to some of these other players?
Yeah, I think it's a fair point to wonder. What always happened with Tiger a lot was there was this sense that I've got to do something spectacular because he's not going to make mistakes. And so all that did was play into Tiger's hands, because inevitably when you try to do something you shouldn't do, you're going to make the mistake. We saw that at Augusta. I mean, Morikawa said he got greedy on the ninth hole. What did he do? He hit it in the one place. Well, there's two couple places, but you can't go in that left bunker. Led to a double bogey. It was going to lead to probably a bogey if he gets it out of the bunker. Just a hard place to get up and down from. You can't hit it on the water in the water on 11 like guys did. You know, but here's the thing. By going for that and making that double, it glosses over the fact that Scheffler made a bogey on that hole. Like, Scheffler makes mistakes too. And I don't think, but just not a lot. Like, he didn't make any bogeys on Sunday or during the final round at Hilton Head until it was over, you know, until it didn't matter. So there's a fine line there. You have to be careful of trying to do too much because you're afraid that he's not going to make any mistakes. I think guys have to just play their own game, you know, do the best you can. And maybe once in a while he will make a mistake. You know, but if you're going for it, and I think this is a problem Rory has had throughout his career, he's so good that he knows that he can pull off those shots. He can be aggressive. But, you know, when you do that and miss, you pay the price, and now what you've done is you've made it even easier on him.
Bob, Scheffler and Nelly Korda. Scheffler's 27, Korda's 25. The one's won four out of his last five starts. The other's won five in a row, which is, you know, no one's ever done better in the LPGA history. They're both American. They're young. They're both not exciting. It seems as if in the last few weeks, though, they're both trying to just show a little bit more. They're doing more media. You know, Korda jumped in the pond at the tournament that used to be the Dinosaur, because that's what you do when you won the Dinosaur. You know, she did a little media more last week than she normally does. It seems as if Scheffler and Korda are beginning to realize that, hey, I gotta open up a little bit.
Yeah, I've especially seen that out of Korda. You know, I think Scotty's been fine the whole time, you know, going back a couple of years now since he's been in this position. You know, I don't see him saying no very often. He's just, you know, he is who he is. He's not really a dynamic personality, and that's just not his fault. Korda has had some issues with giving more time to the media. And unfortunately, you know, with the women's game, which gets less coverage, that's a bad recipe for them. You know, I remember I wasn't there, but she was not great at the Olympics. You know, she was tough with her time. And, you know, people make the effort to go to Japan to cover the Olympics, and an American star is winning. I think the LPGA and some of her advisors have gotten to her a little bit and told her, you know, she's got to try harder. And I agree. She did. And look, afterward on Sunday, after she was soaking wet, you know, she sat there in that robe and she talked about being freezing. She did a lot. You know, she did her post-round interviews. She went on Golf Channel. She went on the No Laying Up podcast. You know, good for her. I mean, I think they need that. And, you know, all they had to do is look back. If they read anything up about Nancy Lopez, you know, Nancy Lopez, when she won five in a row, if you read back at that time, it's incredible the amount of coverage that got. She was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. She was a star, you know, and getting hit all over the place, like way more than Korda is now. The media landscape is so much different. So, you know, you're fighting for attention in a niche sport as it is. And so I'm not saying it's easy. You know, these guys have a lot of demands outside of the media, and then you're trying to play great golf. And you know, in Scheffler's case, his wife is due. You know, they've got a lot going on. So I'm not saying it's easy, but it is sort of incumbent upon them to, you know, take advantage of this opportunity.
All right, I promise we won't call you for at least 3 weeks, but can we hit you up PGA week?
Absolutely. Yes, anytime.
Bob Harrig, Sports Illustrated is where you can read his work. Also author of Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, getting great reviews. Been out for a month, a great Mother's or Father's Day gift for the golfer in your life. Follow Bob on X at Bob Harrig, H-A-R-I-G. Be well, Bob.
You as well. Thanks for having me.
Bob Harrig. See, we did it. We did about 13 minutes there.
No need to go. Mention. No need to go live golf right now. Not with what Scheffler and Korda are doing, and young kid there, 15-year-old, doing a top 20 at the Korn Ferry. That's heady stuff.
Nearly qualified for a PGA Tour event, lost on a Monday qualifier in a playoff. Miles Russell's his name from Jacksonville Beach. He's left-handed. He's skinnier than Trent. I didn't think that was possible.
Well, he's 15.
Him and Thigala are both skinnier than Trent. Man, Thigala's skinny. Hoo-wee. I don't know if he can play the Open Championship. I think if he gets the wrong tee time, they'll just blow him right off the course. He'll end up in a gorge.
I can't wait for all the British impressions that David's going to do.
You can. You can, really. I mean, by the time the Open Championship is done, you will retract that statement, Trent. That's all I'm saying.
The wind is freshening a bit.
Pat Kerwin is on deck. We will dive into the NFL draft with Pat on the other side. Thanks so much for listening. Right here. Who else? Miller and Moulton.